Fantastic. All right. Hi, everybody. Full points to everyone who recognised this is my smart shirt, which is the same shirt I was wearing in the picture. Should have thought of that. Okay, so I'm VP of Services for Ooyala, and at Ooyala, our flagship product is a platform that enables solutions for the content supply chain. So from commissioning through production, through post, all the way out to syndication, digital playout. And I'm going to be talking today, first of all, about some trends we're seeing in the industry and what we think they mean. Then we're going to work through that to what supply chains are and what it means for a supply chain to be connected. And then we're going to finish with just a little bit about what Ooyala does. And hopefully you will agree by the end of this that a connected supply chain is something that everybody should be targeting. Okay, so we're going to start with the trends, and not to spoil myself, but many of these trends are not going to be a surprise to you. We're making more content. So the actual levels of investment we're seeing in content creation are unprecedented at the moment. We've got more than double the amount of TV series in production in the US than we had 6 years ago. And it's not just across the big players that we're seeing this kind of trends. Also, if we look at the Ooyala OVP network, on average, all of our customers are pushing through just over double the amount of content they were pushing through a year ago. And that's across the board. So what does this mean? It means consumers want to watch more content, or to put it another way, they want more options about what content they're going to watch when they make that decision to watch. And when we're talking about options, there's many more ways for them to access that content as well. So we've got more OTT offerings, we've got more apps, we've got more geographies, more languages than we've ever had before. And this is all combining to unsurprisingly mean that your audience is fragmented. You're no longer making content just for the one audience. You've got to consider all the possible devices, locations, the ways people are going to be watching that content. And this actually is borne out again by our OVP network. This is the first time that mobile plays have topped 60% of the overall plays. Ofcom released a report last week in the UK. This is the first time that online subscribers has beat out the number of traditional broadcast subscribers. And this trend is, you know, not quite there in the US household market, but it's going that way as well. So let's turn then to the people who are making the content and what this means for them. So in terms of the technology choices that content creators and aggregators are making, there is still a strong preference for best-of-breed solutions, as opposed to finding a one-stop shop that can deliver everything. But the overwhelming thing that comes out is that 98% of technology users are demanding interoperable solutions, for the very reason that if you're choosing best-of-breed, you know, it's not much use to you if everything changes as you move down your content chain. You're wasting time, you're losing data. So there is a massive demand for interoperability, which, to be honest, isn't being met. And lots of users, with what we're seeing with our customers, are turning to starting to build products themselves to try and meet these needs. So there is a strong desire to continue investing in media technology. This is a list of the top 15 things that people said they wanted to invest in this year. However, when we look at people's actual ability to invest in this, we're not seeing much execution. Of that list of 15, what we've seen is only file-based workflows and using some form of cloud-based services is becoming broadly adopted. Everything else is still pretty early days. As we've seen before, companies who've adopted AI, very small percentage. VR, similar. Blockchain, again, very low. Why is this? So it looks to us like it could be a problem of budgets. The budgets aren't keeping pace with the desire for content creation. Part of the thing that's been caused by this surge in content creation is making creative talent a rare resource, which can, you know, charge for their services. Same with locations. The actual cost of making high-quality content is going up. And although there is still a very strong desire to invest in those technologies, coupled with the cost for making content going up, broadcast networks in the US are commissioning fewer pilots than they ever have done in recent years. Now, that might be because broadcast networks aren't a one-stop shop anymore. There are other places you can go. But what it's really telling us is that there is much more competition across the entirety of the industry. And what that effectively means is that our content producers are stuck with an interesting problem, which is there's a shift for consumers to consume more content. We want to capitalize on that shift, but it's going to cost us more money to make that content to capitalize on it. So how can I make content that's high quality more cheaply, get it out there faster to compete with my market, and also to fund this, capitalize on my existing content so I can make this new content? So this is where we start talking about the supply chain, in particular the connected supply chain. So when you think about how content comes into your company and how it leaves your company, okay, what does that look like? What does your media operations look like? I've got to stop putting this down. Probably. It looks like that. Probably it looks something like that. So highly interconnected, lots of different tools, processes, people involved in this, highly complex. If you looked at that and thought about how trying to increase efficiency or get more out of it, that's a very daunting prospect. So naturally, we simplify. If you take that and you boil it down to the individual kind of tasks, you get a supply chain that looks something like this. Now, we've seen this today earlier in other presentations. Sometimes it's a content value chain. Fundamentally, it's taking our industry and trying to boil it down to a more traditional manufacturing supply chain process. The problem you have that becomes more obvious when you visualize it like this is that it's highly siloed. So coupled with people's desire to use best of breed solutions at each stage in this process, we can now see that it's not just the technical interoperability that's lost. The people who are experts in one stage of this process are not experts in the next stage. So you find yourselves losing data, losing productivity, losing revenue, all these things as you try and string your process together and think of it as a supply chain. So what would actually be required for us to have an interoperable supply chain? Well, I think there's two main ways we go. Obviously, the ideal way is that there are standards that everyone adheres to. Standards for content, standards for data, standards for processes. And all the technology solutions adhere to those standards, making it easy to link your supply chain together. Unfortunately, we're a long way from that. There are standards out there, and there are products that adhere to it. If you wanted to build your supply chain using that technology, right now, you'd be severely limiting your technology choices. The other option is to think about applying an orchestration layer to your supply chain that takes care of normalizing your data, passing that data from silo to silo, giving your, you know, skilled users one place to go to find out what's happening with their content. So let's take a look at what such an orchestration layer would have to do. Anyone who's done human development, apologies for stealing Maslow's hierarchy of needs there. So let's start with the basic needs of an orchestration layer. Firstly, everyone needs to have access to the same content and the same metadata. Okay. Next, they all need to be able to act on that assets and metadata in the same way. So we've got shared metadata, shared assets, shared workflow. What this usually means is having a single UI, place they can log in, that is aggregating across different data stores. It makes the data store immaterial. Then you have some kind of workflow and orchestration layer that is enabling you to push this data to different places in a way that's seamless to your end user. You don't want them to have to do manual file moves and things like that. You want that to be taken care of by the orchestration layer. Okay, the more advanced needs. So when you've got best of breed solutions, you actually lose a surprising amount of time moving between systems because they all have different user experiences. You need to, you know, training in how to use those systems can take time, and keeping people up to date, that's also time. Then you need different subject matter experts, and it just grows. And you end up spending a lot of time just managing the fact you're using different systems. So the orchestration layer should provide some kind of shared user experience, so you don't have that overhead of moving between systems anymore. Next, to maintain the ability to select your best of breed solutions, you have to have an easy way to plug in new technology. Otherwise, you're going to lose all the benefits as soon as there's new technology developments. So having an orchestration layer with an easy and open plugin framework is key. And then lastly, the top of the pyramid, shared analytics. So when you've actually kind of fulfilled your content supply chain's needs, you're able to pull out data at every stage of the process. And again, we've seen this discussed earlier. So hopefully this is going to take us a step towards practically how you can do that. So you want an orchestration layer that is generating essentially events for everything that happens. So you're not just looking at the content, how it was made, how it was reviewed. You're looking at the metadata and what the metadata used to be and when the metadata changed and why it changed. So every conceivable change in the content and the data as it goes through the system is what you want to use to generate those analytics. And then you want a system that lets you slice and dice those analytics in a way that's meaningful for you. You don't want to be presented with swathes of data. That's not going to do anybody any good. So you need a system that dashboards that in a way that's meaningful for you. So when you get to the top of the hierarchy, what you're really doing is taking your supply chain and turning it into a closed feedback loop. And that's what we work with all of our customers to target. So the problem with the chain is it kind of gives you the vision that you shoot that data out the end and it doesn't go anywhere once you've finished and you've pushed that content out to market. The way we like to visualize it is as a circle where you're constantly feeding data into your commissioning process, into your post-production process, into all the processes that went to making that content so you can improve it for next time. And that's, you know, simple things like drama is very popular at the moment, particularly in Scandinavia. Let's make more of that. And then it's also things like we've just introduced a new post-production manual QC process. Actually, content that followed that is generating 20% more views. And it's, you know, low cost to us. We're going to carry on using it. Or more importantly, this process we thought was necessary, it turns out when we skip it, is not necessary. It had no effect on the content at all. Let's get rid of it. So when you can start bringing those kind of insights into your system, that is how you can make your content more efficiently, faster, and start generating more revenues without having to employ more people or put more processes in place. And this is how all of the major OTT properties are planning to operate. So when you get to thinking about an orchestration layer, the benefits you're looking for are fivefold. You're looking for something that helps you streamline your operations. You want to minimize your costs, and the easiest way to do that is by spotting bottlenecks and removing them. Once you've done that, you're starting to look at ways you can speed up the content processes and make more content. You want to maximize your revenue. You either do that by getting your content out there before your competitors, getting it out there in a way that's accompanied by data, that means it's seen by people it's more relevant to. You want to take insights from these processes and constantly be feeding them back into your processes. And then lastly, you want to be able to seamlessly integrate with any new technology that comes along. So this is what our product, Ooyala Flex Media Platform, is designed to do. I'll tell you a little bit about Ooyala and how we do that. So we've been working with customers for over 10 years now. And the media workflow platform and orchestration layer, Flex Media Platform, really came out of a desire to break down those silos and fill in those gaps. We work with a lot of customers all over the globe. As you can see, some of the biggest ones are up there. And we have developed an ecosystem where we work heavily with partners. Because the key thing is, we want our customers to continue using the best of breed solutions. We don't want to build our own transcoder and try and stop them from using their favorite transcoder. What we want to do is let them use their best of breed solutions easily and still maintain data integrity and process efficiency. So the way this works is, we have built the Flex Media Platform that sits in the middle there, which provides the workflow, the metadata, and the analytics. We have also designed it to be composable, configurable, and have an open and flexible API. So we build branded apps that sit on top of the platform to provide specific functions. We also open that API to all of our partners and customers, enabling them to slip in as needed by our customers. So we work with a lot of different partners. This is just some of the ones who are certified with us. And we also have a dedicated team for plugging in new new potential partners all the time. If there's anyone who's not on this list that you'd like to see, we're happy to talk to you. We're always happy to add more integrations. And also, as I said, because this is all open API based, you can add your own integrations. If you've got some proprietary system, happy for you to add your own as well. And then in terms of numbers, because we do like to work with real numbers, these are just some of the real-life numbers we've had back from our customers who have implemented this kind of closed supply chain loop I've been talking about. So let's start on the left-hand side. The 58% time reduction in project execution is an Asia-Pacific streaming media broadcaster who can now do 3.4 more projects with the same personnel. So they're reporting to us that's about a 700,000 reduction in costs with increased revenue of about three times just by using the platform. We've got a US SFOD brand who now say they can onboard projects in less than half the time, which crucially for them, because they're dealing with kind of entertainment news, means they're getting content out there before all of their competitors, which means that the revenue they're generating is more than double what they were seeing before. So the key thing is, by connecting your supply chain, you're actually enabling yourself to fund new content and to capitalize on the trends that we're seeing in the marketplace, while also meaning that new projects you come up with in the future can be onboarded more quickly, you can get better quality output, and you can reduce all of the overheads of human error as well. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Emily.